tennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. I trust the source for the news. 7th night for hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th night for Hallis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal.
What's going on, people? Welcome to a CP time version of 79th and Hallis. Yes, I know we're supposed to have been live 2 hours ago, but Joe was stuck in traffic and I was too busy watching us get a little bit of freedom put on France and everybody out there. Shout out to Team USA for winning the gold medal. And let's root on the ladies of Team USA tomorrow to win another gold medal. Let's get a French sweep in this motherfucker tomorrow, man. But we are here, episode to feel that freedom. We are here, episode 246 of the most illustrious Bears podcast out there, 79th and Hallis. Here's your boys, Flows and Scott. Of course, you can follow us on all social media platforms at Barchair Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the pod at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. We got a lot of followers over here since camp started. I think we've got like 1,000 new followers since camp started. Shout out to all y'all. Follow the Barbershare Network on all social media platforms at Barbershare Net and subscribe to the Patreon, man. You can take your phone right there, scan the screen, wherever you're watching on, subscribe to the Patreon. We got a lot of dope work on there as well. Visit the bcnet.com. Flo's updated the site, got a whole new feel to it. Check out the new joints we got on there. He's got some new articles on there. We got some new pods on there. On top of that, the Barbershare shop is going to be opening in a couple weeks. In a couple weeks, that's going to be on there as well. And for anybody who's followed us this week, you know we have the 79th and Hallis Get the London Fund, man. Me and my brother Flo's are going to London to cover Bears and Jaguars. And if anybody knows about the independent grind, it costs money, man. So we would definitely appreciate if anybody can donate to what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise $3,000 by August 1st. We're almost halfway there right there. We're about 1,400 right now, damn near. Shout out to everybody who has donated this week. And even if you can't donate, do a nice retweet or spread the word or whatever. You can take your phone like that. You just scan it. It'll take you right to the GoFundMe link. Shout out to everybody who's watching.
I do want to get like a little bit of a preface because I got into it with two Twitter accounts the other day. Man, this is embarrassing. Why I can listen to real reporters and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you one thing, bro. We're running a small independent media company. It takes money. We do it for the love of the game in hopes that we will generate money as we get bigger and bigger, but it takes money traveling to Hallis Hall and Lake Forest, traveling to Soldier Field by the lake, traveling to Green Bay and then to Detroit and then to Minnesota and all these other games. And so this is a chance for us to ask the community that helped create us and build us to support us. Again, you don't have to do this, but you do it when you look at a regular paper or any other company and you buy a shirt from them or you have a subscription, you do the same thing. Us, we're just telling you directly what we need it for. So again, you don't want to help. If you hear my dog in the background, please ignore him. But if you don't want to help us, it's perfectly fine. But just get a retweet and move along. But you know, that's what I give for arguing with trolls. Moving on.
That's exactly what we get for arguing with trolls, man. As you can hear that dog in the background, but it's all good, man. Shout out to everybody who's watching in the chat. Well, there's two people in the chat right now. Big shout out to Orlando and our guy Alex, man. He said, fuck them flows. We know the grind. Independent baby and Center Bells Media. We appreciate that, bro. We're going to talk a lot about the Chicago Bears today. Couldn't have had a better start to the preseason, man. So, it was a very active sports day, obviously, with the Bears, with Team USA doing their thing. It's been fun, man. So, we definitely appreciate everybody who has donated. So, it's going to take some bullshit some time. I'm waiting for Flows to get back so we can get into the actual your digs today. But I was very impressed about what I saw out there in Buffalo, New York. Shout out to all our colleagues who are out there holding it down today. The dog shuts up when you bring one on the camera, as we can see.
What was that?
I said he shuts up when you bring him on the camera.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, this is Buddy. Buddy, please stop barking. As if you heard in the background, he's probably going to keep barking a second, but I had to prevent most of that. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's get into the game. I feel like this was the first preseason game of the year, even though it wasn't. But the first one, everybody playing. The Bears won 33-6. Scores do not matter in preseason, but they are 2-0 in preseason right now. All the starters pretty much played on offense. Only starters who didn't play on defense was the guys who really haven't practiced all week. Kyler Gordon didn't play. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks, but he did warm up today. So it looks like he might be closer to playing than a lot of people thought he would be playing. Montez Sweat didn't play today. Tyreek Stevenson didn't play. And there was a couple others. Jaquan Brisker didn't play. So, but the defense looked pretty good, man. Had some good performances with some of the guys on there. We'll get to defense in just a minute, man. But we are all here to talk about Mr. Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams made his NFL debut, well, preseason NFL debut, man, as we pull up his stats right now. Caleb, in the time that he played today, where is it at right here? Why the fuck on the Bears site they got Beige and the Ripper, but I don't see Caleb.
What does he use ESPN for? I'm pretty sure he was 4-7 for 97 yards and 4-7, 95 yards. No sacks. Okay.
Well, like a 1-on-1 QB rating or something like that. So
1-on-1.5. No, 1-on-1.8.
101.8 QBR rating for Mr. Caleb Williams. Man, what was your initial
rating? Not QBR, it was rating.
Rating, my bad. What was your initial feels on what you saw from Caleb today?
I liked his instincts. I think that was probably the biggest thing for me today is, you know, again, I'm never going to jump. I can't believe Ryan Pace driving that back up. All right. For me, I don't want to jump the gun because that's just what Bears fans do, and that's what people who watch the Bears do. We jump the gun. I don't want to do that. The Bears, I mean, Caleb Williams had a really good game instinctually. It looked like the game just came to him naturally. I mean, one of the biggest issues that we've had in the Bears have had in the past is that when the pocket shrinks, the quarterback runs, the quarterback takes off, whether that be Mitchell Trubisky or whether that be Justin Fields. It was condensed move. And a lot of people would say, you know what, step up in the pocket, move up, move around, manipulate the pocket, you know, because one of the biggest things you'll have to do to step up the reason is because the edge rusher is coming off the edge. He's going to get towards you. So the best thing you can do is move up into the pocket, thereby preventing that. The tackle runs him off, and we move on, and he can move on and step up and get into his reads. The best thing that I saw Caleb do is that Caleb stepped up in the pocket, stayed up. Caleb went to his next read after the first one wasn't clear, and the ball came out quicker than I expected it to. Bear in mind, it still came out a little bit slower, but it was quicker than I expected it to, especially after seeing him in practice hold on to the ball, at least this week, very long. So instinctually, I think that was probably the best thing. The numbers are not going to wow anybody. It's just 4-7, 95 yards. But instinctually, he was really, really good.
Yeah, I think that number one thing I took from this, as you know, we were at camp. I think you only missed one practice this week, right? You missed Tuesday? Yep. It was? Yeah. But I was at camp all week this week. You were there all week this week. And to me, this is a big shining on why you can't take too much from practice, because this offense – and the offensive line looked so much better than they did in practice this week. I mean, so much better. The thing is that outside of the numbers, because the numbers, whatever, it's preseason. Like you said, we don't want to overreact because if he was asked today, we'd be like, it's just preseason. So I want to keep the same energy, even though he had a really, really good game. What stood out to me, like you said, Joe, stepping up in the pocket. His patience. I think a lot of people confuse that by when he was with USC that he held on to the ball too long. He had patience when it comes to waiting for his wide receivers to get open. He checks multiple reads, which I feel like this is something, like I said, this is not to shit on Justin Fields or Mitchell Trubisky, but that's something that those two quarterbacks struggled with after their first look, after their first read wasn't open. That's when things got a little bit dicey for him. That has not been the case here with so I'm gonna overreact for y'all. That has not been the case with Caleb. He looked at every option. Got to give some love to the offensive line, which I think will be the starting offensive line because of Nate Davis, which I gave my opinion on Nate Davis on the show. Joe, you can give yours in just a minute. But, you know, the offensive line was really, really good today. And, you know, the plays look good for what it was. You know, I think it's, you know, Waldron's real vanilla right now. He's not going to really show the big guns yet, but Caleb looked poised, man. Like, he looked like he'd been there before. You know, the throws, the little quick, you know, pass, dump pass to DeAndre Swift when the pocket was collapsing. I hate to say this because I don't want to compare him to, you know, light-skinned Jesus of the NFL, but it looked Mahomes-ish. You know what I'm saying? It looked Mahomes-ish when he got that ball off. But that deep ball to Cole Kmet, when I seen him throw that ball, that was special. And the command he had of the line and looked like he knew the plays was amazing. Like, I don't want to overreact to body language and stuff like that, but he looked real locked in. Like, even like for a preseason game, I don't know if you saw that video of him running into Josh Allen before the game. And Josh Allen, because Josh Allen is an elite quarterback, he's an argument through this. Josh Allen just like, hey, niggas, another preseason game. He's like, hey, what's up, Caleb? And Caleb looked locked in. Caleb, like, what up? Like, I'm focused on this. He looks really good. He looks really, really good. I was happy. And as long as he performed well and he got out, you know, without any injuries. And I think that's the most you can ask from Caleb in that. But I really, really loved what I saw. And I'm excited. I'm really, really excited to see what this offense can potentially do. He said, the defensive practice. Yeah, that's one thing, too. The defense, you know, I know fans don't like hearing, oh, the defense won today. But iron sharpens iron. And I really do feel that, you know, this is something that will just help them in the long run. He said, would you all agree that against an average defense, the starting offensive line would be fine? My biggest issue with the offensive line in general is health. I said that last year. I think in a few times that they were healthy last year, they weren't a bad offensive line. I think if healthy, this can be a decent offensive line. They're never going to be elite, in my opinion, until Ryan Poles adds more stuff, adds more players to the offensive line, or better players in those positions. But if healthy, they can be a top 10, top 12 starting offensive line in the NFL, I personally believe. So I definitely think that, you know, anything they can get. And, you know, the defense of the Bills isn't what they used to be. But when you're a rookie quarterback, it don't really matter because you've never seen an NFL defense before. So I definitely think that was a learning lesson for Caleb right there. Joe, what do you think about Shane O'Mac's question?
As of right now, no. There are too many questions that I have for the offensive line. Like, the lineman that I'm least worried about is Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins is the best lineman on that team. After him, it will probably be Darnell Wright because I was really impressed with him in camp and his rookie season in general. After that, I have nothing but questions because, again, Braxton Jones is an interesting lineman because if you're looking at PFF, which I don't really pay attention to PFF like that, I can't say I don't pay attention. I don't put a lot of stock into it. PFF is one of the Twitter's favorite things because when it's PFF and it's against somebody you like, a player, you ignore it. When you have an agenda to run with, you use it. For me, I just think it's hard to really quantify what makes football players or any sport great, and so I rarely use it. And I say that in question. I say that because Braxton Jones gets rated highly at the tackle position. And for me, I'm like, I haven't seen anything that makes me think he's good, you know? I've seen an okay tackle at best. Outside, and when it's not at best, I see a weak tackle. When I mean weak, physically weak compared to the people that he's playing against. And I don't understand it. And so when I think of him, and then I think, what are you doing with Bates and Shelton? And then Nate Davis, I think you have a lot of questions. That's a lot of questions. Those are three players out of five players on the line that you're worried about. So that being said, it feels like right now, perhaps Coleman Shelton has the edge of being the starting center, which, I mean, I was never high on him or Ryan Bates, but either way is fine. The wild card, now all of this, is Matt Pryor, which kind of came out the blue because most of the practices that I've went to, when Nate Davis is out, Coleman Shelton the center, Ryan Bates becomes guard. And several times I saw Ryan Bates get smoked at the guard position. Now, of course, it's a lot for a center to go to guard, a guard to go to a tackle, and so on and forth. But I saw a lot of times he was struggling, whether it be picking up a blitz, communicating with the center, getting off the snap well, putting your hands on the defender and getting him in a good technical position with some sound footing. And I haven't seen that. Insert Matt Pryor, and that was when Thursday?
A couple days ago,
yeah. Maybe it was Wednesday when I saw him get snaps at guard. I said, man, that was a good series. It was a good series. Again, that was a good series. Going Thursday is also a good series. And then going to the game, another good series. I said, I'm really impressed. That was a good series from him. So at the very least, or at the most, this allows them to have more depth at the guard position in case Nate Davis, whatever the fuck happens with him. In terms of Nate Davis, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's the actual issue. They said it's a lingering soft tissue issue is what, you know, Flus told us. But what the hell does that mean? And if it's something he's seriously dealing with, I'm sorry. Hey, that's rough. That's tough. And I wish him the best. I wish him recovery. If it's something beyond that, then that's a serious concern. Because right now, again, as I said, you have three questions on the offensive line.
Yeah, like I said, too, I think the biggest thing you said, too, is whatever it is with Nate Davis, if it's a legit injury, like you said, they need to be straight up with the media. Like, this is the second year we're going through this shit. At least tell us what's going on. And if it isn't injury-related, tell us what else is going on. I think that's the biggest issue right there. And like I said, I think what you said, like, average and decent is, like, the ceiling for this offensive line. But I think the good thing, and not that you want – your quarterback had the skill because you want a great offensive line for them. But the fact that he can actually maneuver with this because he played with a shit offensive line last year at USC, I think is a pro for him. But I think overall today they did a really, really good job. Let's talk about the defensive side of all. That guy, 44, he said only preseason, but Jalen looks like he might be getting another All-Pro. Big day for both of the Jalens. Jalen Jones had a good day as well. He had a good week of camp. Picked off he's had a good camp. We thought he picked off Kayla twice. It was only once. We found out later that second pick was Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
After that big debate we had.
Which I don't believe, but whatever. Show me the ocular proof.
Flus himself said it was totally.
I don't care. I saw it with my eyes. That was 21.
It looked like Jalen Jones to me from what
I saw. It was 21 with my eyes. And yeah, the funny thing, it was Herb Howard, Dan Weederer, and – I don't know if it was Jason Leisure. I don't know who was all arguing. We're all saying, you know, who was it? And Herb was like, no, it's Kevin Byard. Dan was like, I thought I saw 21. And we thought we all saw 21. I was like, that was 21. But at the same time, towards the end of the play, Kevin Byard's walking toward the sideline. And he was like, man, stop playing with me. Like, you know, hyping himself up like he did it. So I'm like, you know. But with my eyes, I could have sworn that was Jalen Jones.
My eyes told me it was Jalen Jones, man. That's what I took from that book. Obviously, we was wrong because Jalen Jones definitely would have disputed that if it was his interception, man. But what do you think about the defense? What you saw as well? Of course, it's not 100% defense and like three or four key guys missing. But what did you like from what you saw?
It's an interesting situation because I think the defensive backfield was great, you know, especially considering that you had three members of that defensive backfield out. You had Jaquan Brisk out, Kyler Gordon, and Tyreek Stevenson, and you still performed well. So that was the biggest concern going into the game was what the hell are they going to do with so many players out. But they performed well. Kevin Byard, of course, he's a starter. He was a Pro Bowler before. He's held his own. He looks good. Jalen Jones coming in, filling in for Tyreek, look good. Jalen Johnson, it's not much you can say about him, man. It's a shame that he's not on the top 100, considering how good he is at one-on-one coverage. It's a bit nuts, but he looks great. The linebacker core looks good. You know, Tremaine Evans getting to the ball, had a few blitzes from him, TJ Edwards, Jack Sanborn. The question, of course, to everybody's minds is what is the defensive line going to do? And I saw a few good things. You know, I feel like Andrew Billings might be getting back into game shape because he's not missed a lot, but he's missed some time. But Gervon Dexter, I think he has a curious case in front of him because sometimes his biggest issue is that for a three tech, he's tall. So very, very big three tech. And getting leverage from the three tech sometimes, at least from my own perspective, being smaller, of course, makes it easier. I don't even think that's perspective. I think that's basic anatomy and basic science because you're a smaller person, easier to get more leverage. And sometimes it's tough for Gervon Dexter to get past that large frame, which is 6'4", 6'5", something crazy, or 6'3", and get that leverage on a lineman who is more than likely, especially you're coming from a three tech, smaller than him. And a few times he stood straight up. You know, he has good hands, and, you know, he gets his hands up quickly and gets his hands on the lineman. But a few times he stood straight up, and in a game situation where it's not a vanilla offense or vanilla defense and you're actually putting plays out there, that might harm him. Javon also had a few very good reps where his power, his speed, I mean, getting off the ball lightning quick just proved to be better than the person in front of him. So it's an interesting situation. It could just be his preseason, and I shouldn't take much from it, which I'm not. Or it could be that he just is something he will have to learn to adjust, and that's his height. But he's talked about his pad level, and he's talked about his heights before in an interview. So I'm going to assume that he is aware of what he needs to do.
Yeah, I think, man, I was really impressed by what I saw from defense, because I said this a couple weeks ago on one of our episodes. I don't know if it was 79th and Hallis or it was I'm Not Gonna Hold You, but I said that I feel like Eric Washington had at least a pass rush plan. Yeah. Like, and it feels like they had a plan. They had a lot of pressure on Josh Allen without their big dog out there, which is Mr. Montez Sweat. They even put up a graphic during the game that showed the impact of Tez in and out of that lineup. And I love to see that. Gervon Dexter, Gervon.
The funny thing is, when I asked the question during that press conference, I said Gervon. I feel like he looked up like, that's not me. And then everybody else was saying Gervon. So Gervon Dexter.
Gervon Dexter has had a really, really big camp. All his teammates have been praising him. He's lost a lot of weight since last year. Speed, he's quicker than he has been. It's looked like those have carried from practices. He's been dominant. So if you have him there, that's been good. DeMarcus Walker looked good. And I think DeMarcus Walker is a real, real big key to this defensive line. If DeMarcus Walker can be good, then that opens up so much things for everybody else on the defensive line. Garbage time, but like in the third and fourth quarter, second half, Austin Booker had a good game. Like you said, he just started playing this position last year. He's a project. I don't even expect him to make an impact this year, but it was good to see that potential that we saw from him that made Poles want to draft him. Like, just like Alex said, Dom Rob, this is one of the last opportunities for him as well. He looks good today. Big shout out to him. One tackle for a loss. He's much bigger than he was last year, Poles. But it was just good to see the defense. It looked like a number one unit. And, like, this is a team that I don't believe the Bills are going to be as good as they were in years past. I think they're putting a lot on Josh Allen's shoulders. And it's also a preseason game. They're a vet team. They're not going to show you the whole – they're not going to throw the kitchen sink at you. So you got to take that stride as well. But they did pretty good. I thought this was a really, really good job by both teams. I mean, both sides of the ball. Here, really all phases, even special teams outside of Vila's fumbling the ball one time. But special teams looked good. Torrey Taylor, bro, we keep telling y'all, bro, he's going to influence a couple games this year. He is already, when you draft a punter that high, it's got to be a reason. You already have seen that. We've seen that in camp, and we saw that in this game today, man. That's what was really, really enjoyable to see. And this secondary is going to be ready. This secondary, when they're 100%, is going to be a problem as long as the linebackers and the defensive linemen can get to the quarterback. If that's the case, if this front seven's getting to the QB, it's finna be a long day for a lot of offenses in the NFL. This team was already number one rushing defense last year. Andrew Billings, in my opinion, is the most underrated player on this defense, maybe on this team. He just goes out there. He's the opposite of Nate Davis. He goes out there and does his job. And nobody even really knows. So later up, you look at the stats and you realize the impact he had on the game. Like, damn, Andrew Billings had a really, really good game. And I think that's what we got from that man. But as far as we can, I think there was a lot of worries in Bears Twitter this week. Yeah. A lot of worries in Bears Twitter. And I won't say worries from the media, but I think that we had our eyes raised. Like, how's this team going to come out on Saturday? I think that was the big talking point at camp this week. You know, we were saying that. Courtney Cronin was saying that. Dan Weederer, Pat Design, there was a lot of people on different outlets in the Bears media were saying that, how's this team going to come out? They're going to look like how they did last preseason, where they were flat out unprepared. They have not looked like that two games in. If anything, this has looked like a well-coached group. And that was one of the biggest question marks we had coming in. Like I said, I'm not going to put too much in it. It's only the second preseason game, so I'm not going to give the coaching staff too much love. But we've seen how it's looked in years past, where it looked like they didn't know what they was doing. What do you think about the preparation going into this game for the Bears?
I think overall one of the biggest, I think, selling points for me to believe that this organization had hit a different era in how they approached the game. Started with the way I saw the Bears practicing at camp. And it's not that I haven't seen it with when Justin was at the helm or anything. I want to say it probably starts with Matt Eberflus. And I kind of got on him early in his career with the Bears with the hits principle. Because for me, I'm like, when I was young in high school, because I've never played professional ball, young in high school, and we had coaches who were very rah-rah, and we're going to do this, we're going to hit them hard. It never works for me because I'm a very practical person. And that means nothing to me. It's what are we going to logistically do? And one of the things he struggled with was just the discipline of the team, whether it was false starts, holding, pass interference, not understanding the play, guard or tackle running into each other, like stupid things have happened. And I often wondered when that hits principle would take over within the team culture. That's not to say that it has now, but I start to understand a bit more about the team through the discipline and the efficiency of the team. Whereas, you know, in practice, those things happen. I need to happen in practice. Things need to be sloppy at times, so you understand not to do it. You need to fail in order to get better at it. And noticing that trend last week, I wouldn't say this past week, the week before last, it was higher. A lot of mistakes, several false starts in a row, and they use that time to iron it out because they played a really disciplined game today with the against the Bills. Things looked efficient. Things looked tight. Calls came down in a timely manner. And I mean, because we've seen delay of games. We've seen taking long to get to the ball. We've seen when you had maybe a minute left and the clock just runs. So it's encouraging because one thing I'm not going to do is shower praise or be a homer for the Bears because I don't care. I think I've been on the beat for 5 years now, long enough for me to realize I took off those fan shades 5 years ago. And so now I want to still enjoy it, but look at it from a bit more of a not as biased perspective, because no one can be bias free. And I think it's encouraging what you're seeing with the Bears. You're seeing Caleb Williams have a good command of the huddle. You're seeing the Bears understand. You're seeing the Bears players, whether it be the offensive linemen, understand the plays, know where they're supposed to be, getting to their spots. Caleb Williams. Yeah. And so I think it was really, really, really solid from the offense and the defense. Special teams, I think, are probably going to be the highlight for this team. They're rummaging through returners right now. I mean, you have DeAndre Carter, who they brought in, who that is a specialty. You have Romo Dunze, Velus Jones Jr., Khalil Herbert, and I'm pretty sure if I was them, DeAndre Carter would probably be the person who makes my primary returns. And then Velus, I don't want to have Khalil out there. I don't want to have Rome out there. It's not that I don't mind Khalil. He can catch the ball in a really solid manner, but I don't think anything's going to happen outside of that. And then Rome is too talented of a player to be potentially hurt in that, whereas DeAndre Carter knows what he's doing in that position. Velus, even though he struggled last year with securing the ball, knows what he's doing. So I like it. It's encouraging. I think Bears fans should lean into that hopeful feeling you have. Lean into it. When I had my first article of the season, or preseason, a training camp, I said it's hope no longer imagined. Lean into it. Be excited. Be happy. Enjoy it. But also be cautious.
There was something I was going to post up here. Here we go. Orlando says, Swift is going to help this offense so much. Now I think Khalil's going to cut. Yeah, I don't think he's going to cut him either. I don't think he's getting cut just because I don't know what Roshan. I can't really name you three really positive Roshan plays in camp. And he didn't practice this week. You know, and Velus did a lot. He said, how do you feel about Velus running back? I mean, I thought for that one drive it looked decent. You know what I'm saying? I think it looked decent. I have to see more, but he has the speed. The speed is there. The speed's never been a question.
He's an interesting player. I've never seen a GM try so hard to make a pick work. And Ryan Poles is trying very hard to make that pick work. And it just may not be there. We'll see.
I don't know if he'll get the carries to make an impact because I do believe DeAndre Swift is a dog. I've been saying we had our top camp. We had to rank who's having the best camp. He's up there. DeAndre Swift is going to be Caleb's safety net. As we saw when that offensive line collapsed on Caleb and he got that ball out quick and DeAndre almost took it to the crib. The only problem I had with that drive, man, is second and one, Let your quarterback make a play. It's preseason, my nigga. Like, let your quarterback make a play. I think in the last 2 years, we've seen in the Luke Getsy offense, they made second and short, third and short, so much harder than it needed to be. And, you know, I'm not going to overreact.
I'm going to stop this podcast right now because one of my homies just mentioned me and said, make your bed, nigga. No. I got out the mud. This is how I'm living. I'm not a bed. And on top of that, the economics behind making a bed
are bad. I'm anti-making my bed.
Why do I need to make my bed? The rest of my room, I mean, outside of the, like, the freaking warmer for my back, it's very solid. It's very clean. That TV back there, it's not a speck of dust on it. Why in the world would I make that bed when I'm going to get right back in and mess it up? I'm anti-making the bed. I will never make the bed. Also, that's not lotion. That is freaking for my eyes before y'all say something. That is the solution for my contacts.
Midday sessions?
Not having midday sessions out here. I have a job.
All right, sorry. Vilas needs to make sure his passport is updated. You ready to speak UFL, buddy? But
Shout out to Rock for wasting the Army's money. Shout out to Rock for wasting
the
Army's
money. You said, y'all, wow, my bed made it better. I can't look at your bed right now, bro. My kids getting their ass over that.
Whoa, in 2024, we're doing corporate punishment on our children?
Hey, man.
I'm not making my bed, brother. It's not happening. I literally wake up every day. I micro make my bed and my micro make my room, you know, get all the big stuff out. Sundays, I do a thorough sweep. I take everything down. I dust it, polish it.
You don't have to explain yourself to these niggas, man. Unless I'm going on a long trip or I got a young lady coming over, my bed will not be made up. I'm sorry.
How long has Mr. Biscuit been in the NFL? 8 years?
Too long, nigga. 7 years. 2017.
Unfortunately, if he went to UFL, he'd be the MVP. I just want to say
that. About that.
I guarantee he dominated them. He's played against
the best. Are you sure about that? Was that John Cena video?
Positive. He goes.
You've always had a soft spot in your heart for Mitch.
Mitch is somebody who has the physical talent to have been a good quarterback. He just didn't have the understanding of the game and the mental aspect to get it. Football, if you get to the NFL.
Okay. That comment was crazy. I'm not even going to put that on the screen.
Football is 90% mental when you get to the professional level. When you're drafted, when you're asked to come to camp, you have the physical talent to be there. Now it's time to get the mental talent, such as someone like Brock Purdy, who's like Mr. Irrelevant. Had the physical talent, but he showed that he has the mental talent for it. And I don't think Mr. Trubisky ever developed that. Now, if he went to the UFL, well, he probably wouldn't have to do as much thinking. He's probably more physically gifted than a good chunk of them. He'd be fine. But because he's a good backup. That's exactly what he does. You bring him in. He's going to throw the ball where you need it to go. He's going to do what he's called to do. Nothing more than that. I think he'll constantly have himself a check. Backup quarterback, the number two position, when you've proven yourself to be good, you will make a check. You will constantly make a check. I don't know what he gets paid now, maybe $1 million a year or something. But and on top of that, I love interviewing him. He was a very solid person with me.
Moving on, man. Let's talk. Do we have any voicemails or no?
We have two voicemails. You know, it's funny. I told Scott maybe we just need to make the calls happen throughout the show. Like, I leave the hotline connected to the computer. And
I don't think that's going to matter. We got some niggas as offense, man.
You all leave a voice. Man. Let me tell you, maybe you all just don't want your voice to be on camera. I don't know. But use it. When the Bears
also, when the season starts, we're going to be on the, like, how they going to, I mean, I think it's better. I mean, whatever. Whatever y'all want to do. Voicemails or call in is fine. But we're going to be doing podcasts. We'll be doing podcasts from the crib now this season because we can give y'all better pods instead of trying to do it in the suites of the Soldier Field. By the way, we will be doing midweek shows this week. 79th and Hallis late night on Wednesdays when the football season starts. We can talk about what I saw up at Hallis to start a new week and then to preview the upcoming week coming up, man. So look out for that. But yeah, let's play a couple of those voicemails if we have them.
First voicemail is very quick. I don't think it's playing.
Oh my God, two words.
There we go.
Bear down.
You heard that?
Yeah, I heard that.
All I got is two words, bear down. Thanks. All right. Next.
All I got is three words, record longer messages.
I don't know what I just finished watching. Actually, I do know. Because in 5 years, we're going to be sitting down talking about Taylor Williams winning his 8th Super Bowl in 5 years. Yes, you heard me correct. No typos in speech. Hey, y'all need to stop playing with the city, man, because we're coming. We're coming.
That's hilarious.
I think they were trying to establish the run. The presence of the run is still there. That's what's key. That's good. I didn't know if that would leave with Jesse leaving the team, but I really like how we're trying to mix in a run and let Caleb play to his strengths. We were doing that with Fields. We were. I'm not even going to touch on Fields. It's a new era. You feel me? We see the sidearm. We seen the pocket presence, the movement, moving up in the pocket, taking off for a scramble, 13th move yard, and the first. You seen it. You seen the slip and slide now. And that was preseason week one. Granted, the Bills defense has fallen off a little bit, but it's still a nice little test against the Buffalo Bills first team. Annual playoff team. And we seen my dog go out there, like, cool, calm, collected. Smooth, calm, collected. He's a smooth operator. The little Aaron Rodgers play thing, fake handoff. We running that all day. We feasting all year, nigga. I don't know if I'm supposed to curse, but yeah. Yeah. Demon home.
You said demon home?
Those are the type of voicemails I want to hear this season, man. That and leave y'all names so y'all we can give y'all a shout out. But those are the kind of voicemails that I definitely want to hear this season, man. Let's move on to our next topic, man. So this week, unfortunately, man, you won't be there this week, man. Your training camp jersey's going up in the rafters this week. But don't you fear, I will be here to hold it down for y'all. I will also be recording the I'm Not Gonna Hold You Chicago Bears preview special. We're going to start recording that, do a couple things up in Hallis for the special. So that should be fun. But what do you want to see? What do you want to hear about? What do you want me to be tweeting this week with the joint practice that's on Thursday? Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals will be coming to town, and they're going to be scrimmaging. And DeMarcus Walker said that these scrimmages be feeling like two practices, man. So this is going to be a real thing. We've seen a couple of teams fight already. What do you want to see in scrimmage against a team that's really good in the Cincinnati Bengals?
For one, I would love to see Ohio State graduate and Buckeye forever, Joe Burrow. I would love to say what's up to him in person. But outside of that, I just want to hear that Caleb was operating the same way he was operating in practice. He knows what he's doing. He's moving in the pocket. He's going through his reads. He's progressing. He's throwing the ball. He's putting – so they say don't put the ball in danger. But I think big plays will put the ball in danger with the hope that your skill player will make a play on the ball. So I would say do the small things correctly. When you have a three-step drop throw, throw it. When you have a bootleg and you have your tight end or your fullback or your running back leaking out, as soon as you come across that corner, get the ball to him. When you have a one-on-one situation with Keenan, Rome, or DJ, and you see they're lined up one-on-one, no overtop safety, throw it. It will be a risk, but that's part of the game. The best players. I mean, we saw a play today where he threw a little sidearm pass with no real leverage, and not even off his back foot, just kind of flat-footed. And Rome had to play a little bit of a DB and get him on and get the ball down. I saw that and said, yeah, we probably shouldn't see that again. But then I realized I've seen Mahomes do it 1,000 times. You say it's bad until it works. And so all I would ask is then do that play, but get the ball in the position where they can succeed. The play that we saw wasn't a position to succeed. But if you throw a little bit over, a little more touch, which probably will require driving off your front foot and throwing, or maybe even being off the back foot and have a little bit of power on there. Of course, you know, they always say don't do back foot throws, but they also say don't do sidearm. They used to say don't do sidearm throws. As long as you can get the ball there efficiently, that's what matters. And so I want to see that same calm and collectedness, and taking risk is what I want to see. Take the risk. What truly separates a good quarterback is taking risk, short-term memory when it comes to turnovers, and operating efficiently and knowing the game. So I want to see that from him. I want to hear that from you, that he's doing that. If he does that, I think we'll be in for a good season for him.
I want to see them play good against a team that's, when healthy, has been one of the teams dominating the AFC. Now, there's not going to be any Jamar Chase because that nigga's like, fuck you, pay me. So Jamar won't be there, but T. Higgins will be there, and there, and Joe Burrow, who in my opinion is QB2 in the NFL when he's healthy. You know, he got to stay healthy this year. I can't keep holding on to that claim if my boy don't play the entire season, or at least most of it. But I want to see them compete. I want to see them not get punked. I want to put a team that is a title contender on notice, you know what I'm saying, and get people to understand that this is a team that's going to be challenging in the NFC this year, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see. I want to see them hit hard, you know what I'm saying? I want to show intensity. And more important, I want everybody to practice this week, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to be. I want to talk about, man, Caleb was cooking that Bengals defense. That's what I want to see. And they're coming to your practice facility, you know what I'm saying, in front of your fans. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not a game, but hold it down. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see from the Bears this week. And I think it's just going to be cool to see another. I've never been to a joint practice. I think they had one either last year, the year before. It was in Indianapolis, and I didn't go. So this be my first joint practice that I've seen. But I heard these.
It was a joint practice that Nagy's last year, or maybe the year before that.
There was none, but it was in Indianapolis. I don't think they've had one yet. Hallis.
They had a joint practice with the Dolphins. What was that? Oh man, I cannot remember.
I don't know. But that's what I want to see from this Bears team, man. Some intensity. You know what I'm saying? Against a really, really good. You said we had one in 2021. Yeah, I think that one was on the road though. That was when they played the Colts, because that was before Eberflus got hired. Eberflus was on the staff there. That's what I think. The Bears haven't had one at Hallis since they've had camp there. I don't know if they had one when they had Bourbonnais.
No, they did. Dolphins. Bears, Dolphins. I knew I wasn't tweaking.
And it was at Hallis?
August 12, 2021 in Lake Forest. Yep. I knew I was there.
Okay. Well, there we go. 2021 versus Miami. So, do you remember? Obviously, you barely remember. Do you remember anything from what you saw, how the scrimmages was?
If anything. Funny thing, it wasn't as chippy as I thought it would be. It was kind of actually a really cool practice. It was cool to see them compete. Back then, there was a certain limit on how many people could stay long for practice. Back then, there was a limit on how many media could actually be.
Yeah, because of COVID.
Yeah, could actually be back there. And so some days I would be there for the full practice. Other days I would see the practice, but not do the press conference. But actually just a pretty solid practice. I mean, nothing crazy. I can't report anything dazzling from either side, but yeah.
That's a funny tweet. I'm sorry. This ain't got nothing to do with this. Nigga said KD got lining because he got a little mademoiselle over there. And shout out for Tyrese Halliburton for actually taking the high road and not playing, unlike Jason Tatum. And he said, when you get an A on a group project and you ain't do nothing. That was hilarious, man. But before our last topic, before we wrap this episode up, man, let's talk about Hard Knocks. This week's episode, the debut of Hard Knocks, George McCaskey was being interviewed by Adam Amin and Jim Miller. I think it was at halftime or the beginning of the third quarter. And he was talking about how they didn't want to be on Hard Knocks, but that they've been doing pretty well with it being around and they've adjusted to it. If you watched, I'm not gonna hold you, yesterday you saw I played my cameo about four times on the show. We put it on loop yesterday on the show, but I enjoyed it. I think the thing, since me and Joe have been at camp and seen them recording, I think the biggest question for us was how are they gonna put it together, and I think they put it together amazingly. I enjoyed it. I watched it like three times. I said the only thing I was upset about was having my media hat on. I wasn't able to be 100% fan, because if I was 100% fan, I'd have been even more excited about it coming on than I would have, because I wouldn't have been seeing the stuff going on. But I really loved the spotlight they put on Flukes. I loved, you know, the house looks amazing. The house he has look incredible, like some Bruce Wayne shit. But it was just real, real fun to see. And I think to see where they're going to be going from here on out with it is going to be dope. So I'm really looking forward to see what it's going to be like from the mic'd up or the sidelines from this game, because it updates every week of what's going on currently. What'd you think about this week's episode and what you want to see going forward?
I think the coolest thing is that I had no clue about him coaching Flus when he was like young and shit. I don't remember that. I didn't know that at all.
Ooh, Nick Saban? Yeah.
So that was cool. Seeing Nick Saban's be his usual intense self was pretty cool. Honestly, nothing too real crazy. I haven't seen Hard Knocks in years, but I've seen Hard Knocks before. I want to get into more of the conversations with the players, hear more from Caleb, but yeah, it's cool. Sometimes I wonder how authentic is any of Hard Knocks. Not because like they're setting up shows or they're setting up shots or they have scripts. No. It's just because you know the camera's on you. So how much can you be yourself? So yeah, it was cool. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Also, big shout out the USA basketball account troll Noah Lyles with a gold medal picture said, "I'll be the world champs now." That was pretty damn funny, man. But I think that's all we got for y'all, man. Let me give y'all a nice little 45-minute pod, nice reaction pod. Next week, we will be at Soldier Field for the first game of Soldier Field in 8 months as the Bears get ready to play the Cincinnati Bengals. This one's going to be interesting to me because I do believe playing time is going to be based on how aggressive the practice, the joint practice is on Thursday. That's usually how it goes around the NFL when you're playing the team who you practice with. So I'm interested in that. Flew said, he's said it multiple times, they're trying to give him anywhere between 45 to 55 snaps. Today he had 18 snaps. So I think they're on a path of doing that. I have no idea if they're going to play the Kansas City game. If you look in Bears fashion, they usually don't play the last game. But I don't know, maybe it's new flus. So either way, we'll be holding it down from Soldier Field next week for Bengals and Bears. And after we get home, after we come back from Soldier Field, we will be doing another recap podcast and also taking you guys' voicemails and also recapping episode 2 of what's called Hard Knocks. There will be no episode of I'm Not Gonna Hold You this week because I will be shooting the I'm Not Gonna Hold You Bears preview special, which will be dropping in a couple weeks. So, is there anything you got to say before we get up out of here? Are we gonna wrap this up?
Good.
That is all we've got. Once again, you can follow us on all social media platforms at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet. Subscribe to the Patreon. Take your phone right now. Scan the screen. Pick from any of the multiple tiers we've got. We've got a lot of good content on there. Summer Sessions will be back on Tuesday after a one-week hiatus because Bang will be back. He was out of town last week. Pavi is back from his European excursion. So we'll have a lot to talk about on Tuesday. And if you want to help in any way to help us get to London to cover the Bears-Jaguars game, please scan the TV. Scan whatever screen you're looking at right now. It'll take you right to the GoFundMe link where you can donate some money to help us with all the things we're going to need to get through this trip. Even if you can't donate anything, just a retweet or whatever. The link is also in the description box and it will be on our pinned tweet on our Twitter page, man. So we appreciate everybody who has been in there. But much love to the 79th and Hallis community because y'all have been supporting us. This is season 10 for us. And y'all have been riding with us ever since John Fox, which seems like it was an eternity ago, man. So yeah. We up out of here. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all weekend, and we'll holler at y'all next Saturday.